B'Shabtai for everything. Okay, I'm just going to reiterate thanking, as always, the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring the afternoon kollel, and this week's Shoal Fasten in memory of his grandmother, Miriam Dvorah Bas Harav Shmuel. All of our Divrei Torah should be Le'ilei Nishmasa. Okay, we're in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, at the very bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. I continue to, out of the generosity of my heart, provide you with the Gemara. Baruch Hashem, it's filling up, so you're doing your job. But I can't encourage you strongly enough. There's nothing like having your own mesechta, marking it up, writing notes, underlining a Rashi, and making a kinyan on Torah, feeling it's like your own. So don't passively come for the cookie and the coffee and the handout and be a spectator to the learning, but make a kinyan, acquire the learning by having your own set of shas, having your own mesechta. Okay, three lines from the bottom. Kedushin Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Torah Rabbanan. Yeah, everyone see where we are? I think this is where we left off. Either way, it's where we're starting, so it doesn't really matter. I'm pretty sure it's where we left off. The Gemara says the following. Torah Rabbanan. Eza Mora, the Eza Kibbutz. It's a funny question to ask, which the Gemara often does. It first analyzes and debates and dissects a topic, and only several dapim in does it say, oh, by the way, what's the mitzvah that we're talking about? Only later. You can learn Maseches Shavuos, and only at the end it'll say, oh yeah, by the way, what is Shavuos HaEdus? Right at the end of each parak. By the way, what is Shavuos HaPikadon? First you spend the whole parak analyzing, debating the minutiae, the details, the application. Oh, then by the way, let's define it. So we've been talking for a significant amount of time. What is Kibud? What is Mora? So now the Gemara actually says, Eza Mora Ve'eza Kibud. What's what? So says the Gemara, Mora Lo'ome Mekomo. Mora having awe, we always translate, Mora is not fear, just like with the Ribono Shalom, after which these relationships are modeled. We're not supposed to have fear of Hashem, we're supposed to have a sense of awe, of admiration. So one can react and respond to what a parent wants out of fear. You're going to take away my technology, they're going to punish me, they're going to take me out of the Yerusha. Or the Mora can be awe. I have such admiration and awe. I would never want to disappoint. They are worthy of my treating them with awe. So Mora is la'ome b'mekomo. That a child should not stand in the place of the parent. What does it mean not to stand in the place? I understand what it means not to sit in a seat. What does it mean not to stand in a place? Your father always leans against that pillar. Don't stand and lean against that pillar. He always stands on that street corner. That's the water cooler. He stands around, schmoozes. What does it mean not to stand? Zog Rashi, lo'omed b'mekomo, the end of the second to last line, says Rashi, b'mokom ha'miyuchad lo'aviv lamod sham besod zkenim im chaverav be'etza. Yeah, taka. When the father stands around with his chaverim and they're schmoozing about the news and life and what's going to be, don't join them. Don't be presumptuous to join that circle. That's not mora. That's not awe. Don't pull up a chair, literally or figuratively, to join that circle and to sit and to schmooze. V'lo yoshev b'mekomo, and you can't sit in your father's seat. V'lo soser dvarav, and one should not disagree with their father. V'lo machrio, and you should not, if your father is having a disagreement with someone else, you shouldn't weigh in what you think. Either way, it's going to be insulting. Your father doesn't need you to say he's right. He certainly doesn't need you to say the other guy's right. So who are you? You're the child. You don't need to weigh in order in this debate that your father is having. Now, lo soser lo machri lo karashi ma ya'ove v'choch macher chalukim dvar halacha lo yomar nirin divrei ploni. If they're having a debate, don't say his side appears more cogent, more compelling to me. What does it mean, lo soser es dvarav? You cannot disagree with your father. Can't disagree with your father. Can't disagree with him in what context? Your father says, Derek Jeter is the greatest shortstop of all time. And you say, well, your father's right, by the way, but you say, no, he's not. I don't know. Who? You could disagree. So what does it mean? You can't disagree with your father when he's saying a Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table? Can you disagree with him when he tells you, I think Bitcoin's going even higher, it's not too late to buy? Can you disagree with him if he says, I think so-and-so, I'm Dafka, so-and-so is the best president, is the worst president, has mental illness, is mentally fit? Is a genius? Is a moron? Can you weigh in? I mean, there's very little left to talk to your father about. We just eliminated sports, Torah, money, politics. What are you going to talk about? The weather. I think it's cold. It's not so cold. New York is cold. This is nothing. So what does it mean when it says, Lo soser es dvarav? You can't disagree. You know, the core of a relationship is having different opinions, is back and forth, is growing through the conversation. So can you talk to your father or you can't talk to your father? So some say that the Gemara is talking about Bedivrei Torah. When Rashi says V'lo Machrio, he's referring to Bedvar Halacha. So some understand Rashi V'lo Machrio is not just talking about Bedvar Halacha, that you shouldn't take a side, but it also means Lo Soser as Dvarav. You can't disagree with your father in Halacha, in the Dvar Torah. But in Yanei Chulin, you're schmoozing about sports, or the weather, or politics, or the stock market, you're entitled to a different opinion. It should be communicated respectfully. It should be communicated with humility. But some say you're allowed to disagree. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein says, Kibbut Ave'im doesn't demand that you don't disagree with your father. What's left to talk about? Lo Soser es Dvarav means Ba'alacha. However, others say, even within Divrei Torah, we find throughout Shas, you have sons disagreeing with their father, Talmidim disagreeing with the Rebbeim, you have machloksim l'shem shamayim, asking a question, disagreeing, trying to shlug up a shir. Torah is dynamic. It's not transmitted in a sterile way. The whole way that Torah is transmitted is through shlugging up, asking, answering, akasha, teretz. And we see that also between intergenerationally and between Rebbeim and their Talmidim.
What?
So the question is how you say it. So anyway, so some say the Taz holds the opposite of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's not that in Divrei Torah you can't disagree, but Divrei Chulin you can. It's Divrei Chulin you can't disagree, because what's the Toelas? Who cares? So he thinks Judah is the best shortstop. He thinks Bitcoin's going higher. Okay, who cares? But Divrei Torah, which demands questioning and answering, that Davka Divrei Torah, it is Mutter. So how do you understand Lo Soser es Dvarav? Is it everything? Is it Divrei Torah? Is it Divrei Chulin? One or the other or both? It's not neither. So that is a machlokas, probably of Rishonim, certainly of Achronim. Okay. Some say you could disagree. It's how you disagree. You're entitled to have a different opinion. Has to be respectful and so on. What?
You're going to say the opposite.
Which is?
By the weather and so on. Who cares? Why disagree? Who cares?
Now that's what I'm saying. That's what the Taz says. The Taz says when it comes to the weather, don't disagree. Because who cares? What's the nafkamina? No, the Aruch HaShulchan says you can't disagree in Torah, you can disagree in Chulin. Taz says you don't disagree in Chulin, Divrei Chulin, who cares? But Torah, you have to get to Amita Shel Torah. You have to get to the Halacha. You have to protect the Amita Shel Torah. So there, you're entitled to disagree. What? Yeah, with evidence, right? It's not personal, not ad hominem.
I assume that we're talking about a father who's generally a kind of father.
Even if he's not, you're entitled to agree, disagree.
Are we saying that kibud is mevatel your das? You're being mevatel yourself to your father?
So that's what I'm saying. This is the machlokis, lo soser es dvarav. What does that mean? Can you not disagree? Can you not articulate your disagreement in all areas, only in some areas? We're not delving into it. I want to go weiter. I'm just pointing out to you that you have four words, lo soser es dvarav. You could fly through those four words. You know, I understand. Don't sit in his seat. Don't stand in his place. Don't call him by his first name. Get him his slippers. Lo soser es dvarav, what does that mean? You see that it can be understood. It can be taken many different directions. What?
It's a bittle of yourself in some way.
It's not necessarily bittle, because by the way, you could disagree not in front of him. That's how some interpret it also. Lo soser es dvarav means in front of him. So in front of him, don't say that's ridiculous, that's wrong, here's why I think it's wrong. Don't get into a debate, an argument, a disagreement. But when he's not there, you're entitled to have another opinion. So you're not obligated to vote the way your father votes. You're not obligated to root for the same team your father roots for. And you're not obligated to understand Pshat and Taisus the way your father understands Pshat and Taisus. The Shaila is, when you arrive at those other conclusions, can you do it in front of him and can you challenge him with it? So these four words, how they express themselves, halacha l'maisa, is a big discussion. Yes.
Doesn't the Machabi say that even not in your father's presence, he has a reasonable opinion, you're supposed to support it in the north. Schwartz comes over and says, you heard what your father said yesterday, and we're supposed to support.
So the Bia Agra in Shulchan Aruch understands that when it's lo sosos dvarav, it means only when you're befanav. Shalo befanav, it's mutter. When you're not in front of him, then you're entitled to have a different opinion. Then you're entitled to disagree. The Shach holds, bein lefanav, bein shalo befanav. Whether you're there, whether you're not there. I'm not getting into it because every shita you can imagine exists. In front of him, not in front of him, divrei Torah, divrei chulin, both, neither. It all exists. The point is, it's an important shailas halacha
l'maisa. Does any of this exist after the father passes away?
So that we talked about the last time. Kibud av l'achar moso. What is the nature of kibud av l'achar moso? We talked about it. You can listen to it online. Okay, let's try to go weiter. Try to go weiter. Yeah.
Right.
To be cholik. Yeah, the last line in the Tosis Riyah Zakin. Shimhu va'acher cholkim lo yomar nirun divrei ploni. Mistar b'techoloni davka b'chayev. While he's alive, after he's gone, it's not a pegam in his kavod, if you would disagree with him. Okay. Zakti gemar vaiter. Kibud ma'achalum. So that's mora. Mora is don't stand in his place, which the Rishonim understand means not literally on this square foot of the carpet. It means don't join his chevra. They have a coffee clutch. They sit and eat shalant and they schmooze about X, Y, and Z. Don't assume that you can join the conversation. That's mora. Mora is don't sit in his seat, don't disagree with him, and don't take a side if he's in a debate. What's kibud? Machlo mashke malbish machasa machnis emotzi. Kibud is you give him to eat, you give him to drink, you give him clothing, you cover him, and you're machnis emotzi. You take care of him. You take care of her. You take care of their needs. The Rambam in his Perusha Mishnah explains that it's not limited. Kibud is not only these things. These are dugmos. These are examples, symbols of the tanug, of the pleasure. Kibud means that you're looking after the general physical well-being of your parents. So that's the definition of mora, the definition of kibud. So now turning the page, the Gemara wants to know, Iboilu. Mishal mi? So very good. So you got to get your father a sandwich. You got to bring him a drink. So mora doesn't have a cost associated with it, right? Don't sit in his chair and don't join his coffee group and don't disagree with him. There's no financial cost. There's no expense. But kibud has an expense. He says, pick me up a roll of sushi. Get me a Starbucks grande, caramel, triple latte, whatever. That's a big expense. Who's got to pay for the Starbucks grande coffee? Mishal mi? Who has to pay? Rav Yehuda Amar Mishal Ben. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the child has to pay. Not only do you have to pick up the coffee, you've got to foot the bill. You've got to pay for the coffee. Rav Nosson Baroshia Amar Mishal Av. The father's entitled you to say, look, can you go get it for me? Kibud demands that I get to sit here and continue learning. I'm asking you to go get the coffee. Or actually, we saw the Makna had a chiddush that once the father asks, it's not kavod, it's mora. That kavod is you're initiating. You're anticipating, let me go bring a coffee. Once the father taka says, can you bring me a coffee? Your responding is mora. That's awe, that's fear, that's not kavod. He was able to answer, remember the Makna had a shaila, a steer. The Gemara Megillah says that if you're learning, kibud av v'aim is not tocha talmud Torah. So how over here with the story we saw with the mother when he was trying to understand the parak of Tehillim, why it does sound like it is docha? And the Makna answered, the Afla answered, that because when you are asked to get it, that's mora, and that is docha Talmud Torah. Kibud, which is you're anticipating, proactively bringing, that's not docha. You're not obligated to interrupt your learning to anticipate a need and fulfill it. You're obligated to respond to a need that was requested. So again, I say, you know what? I know my father loves coffee. My mother loves coffee. I'm going to stop at Starbucks and bring them one. I wasn't asked. According to the Makna, once I'm asked, that's mora. Not that it makes a difference. The same shaila of Mishal Mi would apply. But I anticipate the need and I go pick up the Starbucks. Rabbi Yehuda says, I've got to pay. Rav Nosson says, no, Mishal Av. I bring it. I've got to do the kavod, but I'm reimbursed. I keep a log. I keep an expense sheet, and I'm reimbursed by the father. I have the father's credit card. Oru le Rabbanon. The Rabbanon came along and paskin le Rav Yirmiyah, va'amri le lebrei de Rav Yirmiyah, kemanda amra mishal av. Gemara seems to paskin, it's Mishal Av. Kavod demands the child take care of the parent, but ultimately the parent is the one who has to foot the bill, the parent is the one who has to pay. Zog Rashi, Mishal Mi, Ma'achelo Mashkeo Mechabdo, who's paying the expense of all this? And that's what the Gemara's conclusion is, Mishal Av. Now there's a big question on the Mishal Av. What's the question? Turn the page 3 for a moment. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, in his commentary on the Rif in the back of the Gemara, asks this question. What's his question? See where I put the arrow? Maskinan, Mishal Av. The father has to pay. Frek the Ran Akasha, the Kevan da Avdu ba uv dahachi ilchasa. Since we saw that this was the way it was done, which the Gemara is going to tell a story, that's the halacha. Chitei mim kein tikshilon. Hadamrin la'el. One second, we all learn this Gemara. A daf ago on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Arhechem ki barav ve'em. We asked, how far does the mitzvah go? And the Gemara answered, Suru u ma'asa ovid kochav me'echad ba'ashkelon. There was a guy, a non-Jew, who lived in Ashkelon. What was his name? Dama ben Asina. Shehifse b'shvilo shishim ribos char. And if you recall, he forfeited an enormous profit. Why? They wanted, the Jewish people wanted access to purchase the stones for the aphon. And the key was locked under his father's head. He was taking a shluf, chapin a drimmel, he was taking a nap. And the key was under the pillow. And Dama ben Asina forfeited an enormous profit in order to allow his father to sleep. So I don't understand, asks the Ran. If it's Mishal Av, why did the kid have to forfeit all that money? Kibbut Av comes out of the father, not the son. So why should the Kibbut Av of letting my father sleep cost me money? They said $1 million for the key under your father's pillow. Dama ben Asina said, all the money in the world I won't wake my father. Kibbut Av demands I let him sleep. Ask the Ran, but if we paskin, it's Mishal Av, the child does not have to bear an expense to honor the parent. Then why did Dama ben Asina, why did he refuse to wake his father?
Oh, so says the Ran, Ikla
Meimar, the Chiamina, the Davka Mishalav, Animil, Lachabdo, Avakitishalal Tsaro, Yeshla Abi Komaman Shibaolam. So first the Ran answers that when the Gemara says, Mishal Mi, whose money does it come from? It's talking about bearing the expense of honoring, of providing an honor, food and drink. But in order to avoid Kidela Tsaro, to avoid causing pain to the parent, then the child has to pay, and even whatever money in the world. So there's a difference in order to avoid Kidei Letzaro. Inami, the Ran gives a second answer. We're about to say this. The Gemara will go weiter in the Gemara right now. You'll see that the Gemara says you have to honor your parents the way we honor Hashem. And that means even bearing an expense. That sounds like it's Mishal Ben, not Mishal Av. And the Gemara is going to say that means Bittul Malacha. Let's go to the Gemara. We'll see the second answer in the Ram. So back to the Gemara. Meisve, yes, the Gemara Kasha. Nemar kavidis avicha v'asimecha v'nemar kavidis Hashem mehonecha. Pasuk says honor your father and your mother. And the Pasuk in Mishlei says, honor Hashem. Mehonecha. What does mehonecha mean? From your money. Malahalan. V'chesun kis. Just like you honor Hashem, it costs you money. Does it cost you money to honor Hashem? Absolutely. If you send your kid to day school, you know. If you have a shul membership, you know. If you eat kosher meat, you know. If you buy a lulav and esrog, you know. Kavedes Hashem mehonecha. It's expensive to be a Jew. It's expensive to honor Hashem. Sa'afkan chesun kis. V'yamras mishalav. And if you're going to tell me that the father is the one who covers the cost of honoring him, my nafkalon minei, then what's the gzeirah shava? What's the connection between the kavedes avicha v'asimecha and kavedes Hashem me'onecha? Honoring Hashem is b'chesun kis, it costs you money. But if honoring your parents costs your parents money, where is the comparison? And we know that there's a parallel. Says the Gemara, no. It is covered by the parent. Aye, so where's the chesron kiss in honoring your parents? Bittul malacha. The fact that I had to leave work to go to Starbucks to bring the coffee True, the expense of paying the grande, triple latte, caramel swirl with extra whatever, that enormous expense. True, the father covered the expense of the Starbucks, but what about the time I took off from work? What about the time value of money? What that cost me, the value of my time? So that bitul malacha, my father doesn't reimburse me. Let's say I'm paid by the hour. Let's say I'm a doctor, I see fewer patients. I'm a lawyer, I could bill fewer hours. So my father has to cover the cost of the Starbucks. He doesn't reimburse me for the lost time or the lost wages of the lost time. So there is an aspect of chesed and kis even in kibud av v'eim, but the expense of the kibud av v'eim is being paid for mishel av. So the second answer of the Ran is that there's still an expense of bitul malacha. There is a loss. So too Dama ben Asina experienced the loss when he didn't wake his father. True, he doesn't have to pay in sense of laying out money, but the idea of bitul malacha, there's no ein bitul malacha gedula mizu, that he lost amazing, enormous business opportunity. So there's a difference between spending your own money, which comes out of the father's bank account, the mother's bank account, versus foregoing a profit. The child's obligated to forego a profit for kibud av v'eim, but an expense associated with kibud av v'eim is covered by the parent. So the Ran gives two answers. I saw a third answer some Rishonim give. The Shita Lano Delami says that Dama ben Asina was going lifnei mishur hadin. And heichan kibud av v'eim means, you want to hear a crazy story of how far someone is willing to go? It wasn't teaching us the halacha. We don't derive a halacha from the non-Jew in Ashkelon. The story of Dama ben Asina was not telling us the halacha. It was telling us such virtue, such merit, how far someone's willing to go. But it's not a stira to what we're saying mishalav. So the Shita Lano Delami says, that's not the halacha, that was lifnei mishur hadin. And the Ran who asked the question gives two answers as well. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's go weiter. Hold your question because we're about to address it. Back to the Gemara weiter. Toshma. Right, we're still trying to prove Michel Me. Who's got to, again, the Starbucks example. Dunkin' Donuts, sushi, whatever example you want. Or paying for the parents' parent has torn shoes, needs new shoes, clothing, electricity, whatever the case may be. Who's paying? Says the Gemara Toshma, it's a Tosefta in Meiser Sheini, Shnei Achen, Shnei Shutvin, Havu Beno Harav V'Talmido. Let me give you a little background to this. The halacha is that produce that's grown in Eretz Yisrael, one is obligated to tithe. You have to take Trumas and Meisras. You have to take the Truma Gedola, which is given to Kohanim. How big is the Truma Gedola? Depends how generous you are. It's either a 40th, the 50th, the 60th, depending if you're stingy or you're generous. And that is given to the Kohanim. You then take Meiser. The Meiser is Meiser Rishon, is given to the Levi. You then take Meiser Sheni. The Meiser Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim in order to eat it there. In the third and sixth year of the 7-year cycle, instead of Meiser Sheni, you take Meiser Ani, and the Meiser Ani is distributed to Aniyim. Now, it's not so practical. Let's say I live in some city in Eretz Yisrael that's very far from Yerushalayim. It's not like you can hop in an Uber, a Lyft, a taxi, a bus, a train now in Eretz Yisrael and get there quickly. It was an enormous journey. So I have my produce, and I separate, other than years 3 and 6, in 1, 2, 4, and 5, I separate my Meiser Sheni. But the fruit's going to rot by the time I'm going to get to Yerushalayim to eat it. So what do? I'm not planning on going to Yerushalayim for another 3 months. So what do? I'm podet. I redeem the kedusha, the sanctity of the produce. I put it on money. And then the produce now has been deconsecrated. It's now yotza lechulin. It's now totally mundane. I could cut it up and have a fruit salad and eat it right here, far from Yerushalayim. And the money carries the sanctity. I bring the money to Yerushalayim, and there I purchase produce, and I transfer the Kedusha back, and I eat it in Yerushalayim. And that's how effectively I can observe the laws of Meiser Sheni, even if I live and I'm not planning on going to Yerushalayim for a while. Now, the interesting halacha is, the Mishnah says in Meiser Sheni, that when I redeem my own Meiser Sheni, I have to add a fifth. when I'm redeeming it, there's a tax. There's a surcharge to being able to do it. I have to add a chomesh. I have to add a fifth. That's when I do my own. But if a third party is redeeming, in other words, they're paying for and buying the produce and transferring the kedusha onto the money, then it's an exact exchange. They don't have to add a chomesh. They don't have to add a fifth. Okay, you follow the halach of Maisa Sheni? Yeah? That's the background. Now let's see what the Tosefta says. That's the background. Shnei Achim, two brothers. Shnei Shutfin, two partners. Ha'avu b'no, a father and son, or a Rav Talmido, or a Rebbe and a student. Podin zelazem maiser sheni, u'machilin zelazem maiser ani. They're allowed to redeem maiser sheni for one another without adding a fifth. And they're allowed to distribute in years 3 and 6 maiser ani to one another. Why might I have thought you can't? Because someone is so close to me, like my brother, my father, my business partner, that's like really redeeming it for myself. I should have to add a chomesh. Says the Tosefta, no. If it's a third party, if it's another person, a second party, it's another person, I don't have to add a chomesh. And we are considered such distinct individuals that I can give you my maaser ani. If you're worthy, if you qualify for maaser ani, I can give you my maaser ani. So says the Gemara, why are we bringing up this Tosefta? Because Amras Mishal Ben, if the child is the one really who has to cover the cost of Kibbud Av, Nimtza Zeporechovo Mishal Aniyim. So let's say you have a poor father, so you're going to give him your Maiser Ani, and you're doing Kibbud Av by taking care of your father's needs, but you're doing it with your Maiser Ani, which the Tosefta said you're eligible to do, Av Ubeno Machilin Zelazem Maiser Ani. Why can the child pay the father or cover the father's expense with his maaser ani? Isn't he robbing from aniyim? Why is he robbing from aniyim? Really, it should have to come from Mishal Ben. According to the sheet, it's Mishal Ben. According to the opinion that Kibbud Av Ve'Eim has to be paid by the child should have to give the maaser ani to someone else. And for the father, even if the father's an ani, he should have to pay. Kibbud Av should have to come from him. Answers the Gemara, Lo tzricha la'adafa. You're right. We're talking about using it for ha'adafa. We're matir for the tosefes, for extra. Meaning, the child is obligated to feed the parents and to give them to drink. But he's only obligated to give b'mida beinonis. You only have to give a normal, reasonable, average. But if the child wants to add on to that, or the parent demands, I don't just want a cup of coffee, I want Starbucks. I don't just want I want the fancy version. So hadafa, the extra amount that the child's entitled to give from Maiser Ani. It's a separate din in Maiser Ani that you pay the Ani, kidei, you pay him the lifestyle they were used to living. You say, why could you use tzaka ever for more than the Mida Beinoni? The answer is that you take care of someone according to the quality of life that they were used to living. So that's how we answer. That's how we answer. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's true, that we're talking about giving Maiser Ani, not for the child to pay for his father's core meal, but to give him the extras, the side dishes. Hainu diktani Allah. So what about the Brisa that says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda tovo me'ir l'mishamachlos aviv Maiser Ani? Then why is Rabbi Yehuda saying we should curse somebody who uses their Maiser Ani to feed their father? What's wrong with that? The Iker Kibbud Av, they're paying from their own pocket. They're using it for the Tosefis, the Hadafa, for the extra, the supersize. That's what they're paying from the Maaser Ani. Why should they be cursed? V'i la Hadafa, my nafka minei. And if it's adding on to the regular amount, what's so bad about that? Why should it be cursed? Says the Gemara, filu achi zila be milsa. Because it's a bizayon to the father. The curse is because that the father is being supported by Maaser Ani. Even when a parent is impoverished and needs to rely on the generosity of the child, they don't want to feel they're a beneficiary of tzedakah. They don't want to feel they're getting tzedakah. So that which the child is using their maaser ani, their tzedakah, to pay for the father, even if it's only to pay for the hadaf of the tosefis, that in itself is a bizayon, it's denigrating to the parent, so much so that Rav Yehuda says they should be cursed for doing it. Okay? Let's see Rashi. Zogt Rashi. Podin zelazem maaser sheni. We can redeem Meiser Sheni for one another without adding the fifth. You don't say you're really the same person. So you might have thought, since the child has an obligation and responsibility of kibud av towards the parent, it's as if they're one goof. So when they redeem from one another, they should have to add the chomesh. Comes along to Tosefta and says, no, they're still two separate individuals. They don't have to add the tax. And if the child has Meiser Ani to distribute, he can give it to the father if he's poor, if he qualifies. Even though he loves his father like himself, and if he couldn't give his father the Meiser Ani, he would have to pay him out of his own pocket. Nevertheless, he's allowed to. Why? He's giving him lahadafa. Allah muta la'achil la'ashkoso mida beinonis v'mavav tzorach l'su'udi yaseir ya'achilenu Meiser Ani. So he can use he has to pay from his pocket to give his father the average. But if he wants to give his father a su'udi yaseir, supersize, more side dishes, dessert, so that can come out of his Meiser Ani. Okay. Now let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, Rav Yehuda Amar Mishal Ben. It happens to be we paskin Mishal Av. We're going to come back to it. But the Gemara within the other tzad, the Gemara within the other opinion who says, who has to pay? Not only do I have to pick up the Starbucks for my dad, I have to pay for it. Comes out of my pocket, not his. Says Tosfos, Medakte Gri, Leman Damer Mishal Ben, Im Nizdamein Lo Kibur Av Va'avedas Atzmo, Va'avedas Chavero, Ketzad Yasa. What happens? If I lost something, and my friend lost something, and my father wants a drink, Ketzad Yasa, what's the hierarchy? What's the order through which I have to behave? Im Yasok B'Chvor Aviv, Halo Avedas Chavero Kodemas. So, it's not Kibur Av, because my friend's lost object takes precedence. Kedamina be'elu metzias. The Gemara above metzias says, Yachol amar lo aviv al tachzir yachol yishama lo tamad lomar v'chulei. V'haynu al tachzir shomar lo osik b'chvodi. If you're looking for an aved of your friend and your father says, don't look for it. I don't like that friend. I could care less that he lost that object. Ignore it. Are you supposed to listen to your father or look for the lost object? Look for the lost object. Even though says the Ri, not looking would be honoring your father. So what do you see? In a conflict between honoring your father and looking for your friend's lost object, which one comes first? Looking for his lost object. So what do you say? What you see is, looking for your friend's lost object is supersedes your father's say your father's covet. Now let's say your friend lost something and you lost something. Are you obligated to look for his lost object first? No. Again, Tosfos quotes, the Gemara in Bava Metzia again says, you take care of yourself first. If you lost an object, you look for your lost object before you're obligated to look for your friend's lost object. So, you hear the question? Really, your lost object comes before your friend. Your friend's lost object comes before Kibud Av. But really, if it's Kibud Av, if you say it's Mishal Ben, that you have to pay, then you should have to forfeit your lost object in order to do Kibud Av. So Tosfos is putting together a few Gemaras to come to a conclusion, which is in contradiction to the opinion that it's Mishal Ben. You understand? Let's say it again. According to one opinion, the cost of honoring parent comes from the child. Says Tosfos, one second, let's put a few things together. If my friend lost something and my father says, don't look for it, do I look for it anyway? Yes, which means what? That looking for the lost object supersedes Kibud Av. If I lost something and my friend lost something, whose object do I look for first? Mine. So his object comes before Kibud Av. My object comes before his object. Ergo, my lost object comes before my Kibud Av. If it's Mishal Ben, I should have to forfeit my lost object in order to honor my father. So how, if you put those things together, it comes to the opposite conclusion of the idea that it's Misha Ben. You understand his kasha? Good. V'nira l'ri, says Taisus, she'aniach kivarovev avedis chaver v'yasik b'avidaso. Ta'ad ha'amar kivarav kodem ha'inu davka l'aniach l'aviv lasos ritzona b'mamono. V'shezeu guf ha'kivar, aval b'avidaso, kevin she'ein ha'av nena b'aveda atzma, eina ben chayev l'afsir avidaso b'shvil aviv. Says Tosfos, that's an absolutely correct conclusion. And it's not a contradiction. Misha ben doesn't mean you have to forfeit. It means you have to pay. Meaning, if your father has a benefit he needs the air, the heat turned on, he needs something to eat, something to drink, you have to cover that expense. That's part of your mitzvah. You don't say, well, I'll shake a lulav and esrog if someone else hands it to me. I refuse to pay for it. Part of the mitzvah of a lulav and esrog is you got to acquire it. If you can get one from free, big gazunt, if it costs you money, it costs you money. If you can give your father food for free, good. If it costs you money, Misha ben, it costs you money. Which is the more logical position, by the way. Misha lav or Misha ben? Misha ben is the more logical conclusion. If it's my mitzvah, I always have to pay for my mitzvah. Why shouldn't I have to pay for my mitzvah? So within this opinion, I have to pay for my mitzvah. Give him food, give him a drink, pay for the heat, get him new shoes. I have to pay. But his telling me, ignore your lost object, that's not kavod. He has no hana. That's not reasonable for him to say, I get pleasure by your neglecting your lost item. So to forfeit the value by neglecting my lost item, that I'm not obligated to do. That's the position of the Ri. V'afam rigav, so what's your kasha on that? V'afam gav damrinu b'samuch, says Tosos, you'll ask a kasha on that conclusion. The Gemara is about to say, how far is kibud av kedesh yitol arneki v'yata liyam? My father takes my wallet and throws it in the sea. Veina machlimo, and I'm not supposed to protest. I can't lose my cool. L'man d'ama misha ben, hasa mai rebosa inyan sheish la'av koras ruach bekach. Gon shezorko liyam, l'mir ma'am imse an shibese. Ti lav hachi, imbachina mashlich roshahu. To over v'bal tashas. Why is my father throwing my wallet in the sea? If he's doing it gratuitously for no reason whatsoever, so he's taka Russia. I don't have to give cover to a Russia who's taking my things and throwing them. He has a good reason why he's doing it. What's his good reason? He's trying to get his children and grandchildren to march in line, to listen to him. And part of his pedagogic methodology is to show, I'm the boss, I'm going to throw your stuff in the sea. I don't think this would have the endorsement of the educational community today. I'm not suggesting it's a proper pedagogic method. But says Duri, says Tosfos, there has to be a legitimate reason why he's throwing it. And that's when it can be demanded of me. But Taka, if he's Baal Tashlis, he has no legitimate reason, and he has no Hana, then I wouldn't be obligated to sit still, even if you say it's Misha Ben. Even if it's Shogeg, and my father in his anger takes something of mine and breaks it. So satisfying his anger by breaking it, that's Hana. That's how his Hana. Again, not endorsing it, I'm not supporting it, I'm not justifying it, but that's not lachina. That too is called a hana. Okay, so Tosfos redefines here also that when we say kibud av v'ein misha ben, maybe that means I have to pay when there's an expense associated with a legitimate need of my parent that I'm providing. But it doesn't mean that I have to forfeit or lose money for no reason, like neglecting a lost object or gratuitously having my property thrown into the sea. That's how Tosfos understands Michel Ben.
What?
Travel expense. Yeah, so that's not a direct expense that the child has to pay. It seems like Michel Av is for the direct benefit the parent gets. Next Tosfos. Zog the next Tosfos. Yeah. No, you're talking halacha, you're talking practically. I'm telling you the halacha. Says Taisus, the Gemara had said, Oru le Rabbanan le Rabbi Yirmiya, that Kamanda Amar Mishal Av. Right? The Gemara concluded that, even though it's funny, we concluded the halacha is Mishal Av, and then we went to go ask questions on Mishal Ben. So Tosis is going on the assumption that we paskin Mishal Av. You see the second Taisus? Mashma Shekach Halacha. V'chein pasuk b'shiltas d'Rav Achai, parshas Vayishma Yisro. First of all, I love the way the parsha is called Vayishma, which makes a lot more sense. We normally name the parsha by the first word. We call it Yisro. But it's interesting that the Shiltos refers to it as Parshas Vayishma, not as Parshas Yisro. Where did the Parshios get their name? It's an interesting question. Who gave the name to the Parshios? The way we used it. Yeah. Much of it is not of Jewish origin. So the Shiltos of Bachai didn't call it Parshas Yisro. It called it Parshas Vayishma. So what's the halacha? This is what you started to ask before. It's very nice if the father and child both have deep pockets. Who has to pay? It's very nice to entertain who has to pay. But what happens? The parent is on a fixed income, a very limited fixed income, and doesn't have enough to cover some basic expenses. Do we still say that the son has the right to say, look, Mishalav, let my father go hungry? So the Shiltos of Bachai says no. When a father doesn't have and the child does, then the child is obligated. So now here's a question. When the parent lacks and the child has, and we say that in that circumstance the child has to pay, is the child paying b'toras kibra v'aim or paying b'toras tztaka? What's a nafkamina? What? Can it come out of their meiser money? Can it come out of the meiser money? Can a child use their meiser money to cover the parent's expenses? The parent needs a home health aid. The parent is going to live in a home. The parent has all kinds of expenses. They can't afford. What? The child doesn't have money, then they come to the rabbi. You know, then the parent doesn't have money, the child doesn't have money, and who's next? So, we're assuming the child has money and the parent doesn't. So when the child is using the money, that's the Shiltos Paskins, when the parent lacks money and the child has money, then taka halacha, they have to pay. But what's the nature of that payment? Is it a din in kibud av, just like it's my lulav and esrog, I can't use my meiser money to buy my lulav and esrog, because that's a chiyuv on me to have a lulav and esrog. Meiser dafka is not to fulfill my chiyuvim. So is kibud av in that circumstance like a chiyuv, I can't use my meiser money? Or do you say no? Really, we paskin, Michel, av. Okay, the fact that my av doesn't have, I have to pay, I'm entitled to use my meiser money. Taisa says, Vodar minu b'Yerushalmi am Rabbi Yossi, Halavai Davin Kol Shmaisa Zibrili, Kaach Shokofen Es HaBen Lozen Es Aviv. Vod Raya Meha Do'amar b'Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan Vav Yoshia, Ka'azli, Ba'orach Ha'asa U'gavra V'Kanoshek V'Kari, Rabbi Yonason Omar, Mai Hai, Amar Lai Da'amar Lai Zil Tzog B'Bei Kanishta, Kol Maharesi Lo Shiyasa, Kol Ma Shi Yifar Nisenu B'No, Amar Lai Amai Lo'ach B'Mar, Amar Lai G'gon Zu Kofen, Bitmiya, Amar Lai Atzrich Ha'lakach Perish V'Chili Yadas De Kofen, Pshita De Kofen. You could force the child, and the child has the money to pay for the parent. Vod Raya Yerushalmi, and so on. So Tosfos is of the opinion, Halacha L'maisa, that if the parent doesn't have and the child does have, that the child has to pay. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, page 4. Siman Resh Mem, Seif Hey. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, who pays? Who's paying for the Starbucks? The Tati's credit card. Mishal av vein. Im yesh lo, if they have. Then ein la'av, v'yesh leben, kofen oso, v'zon aviv, kefi mashu yachol. If the parent doesn't have and the child does, then you force the child, according to what they can. Then ein leben, ein ochayav lachzar apsachem lachilo as aviv. So now, what if the child doesn't have? Larry asked before. Must the child go knock on the door? Does the child have to collect staka for the parent? Really, he shouldn't have to pay at all. It's mishalav. The parent doesn't have, so the child has to pay. But now the child is enough for himself, but doesn't have the discretionary income to also pay for the parent. Does he have to collect staka for the parent? And here the Shulchan Aruch says no. Eino chayav lachzor al psachim lachil azaviv. That far he does not have to go in order to collect and pay for the parents.
So what's the essence of the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the mitzvah that you prepare to take care of.
Right.
The mitzvah that you need to pay for. I'm trying to split a hair, because it seems to me that you could argue that if the father doesn't have, then why can't the father be this practice without stuff to pay for the father?
Why does it have to go to the son at all?
Yeah.
Right.
The son has to be sure that he... But the son has to be sure that he's taken care of. But is the chiyuv to spend money, or is the chiyuv to make sure that the father is taken care of?
Yeah, but should you go collect from Stucco when you have the wherewithal yourself to pay?
Is it not a gemini that the outer captain to go after the door? So would it...
Yeah, of course. That's the nature of Kibbutz Av. Oh, you're asking on the Shulchan Aruch, why is he exempt from knocking on doors? Right. Who's going to do it instead? The father? Or he's going to go hungry? So this is the Shaila. In other words, you could say in Lamdas, is this Machlokas Mishal Av or Mishal Ben? Maybe it's not either or. Maybe it's both, but which comes first? So do you say it's both, but which comes first? It's Mishal Av. If the Av doesn't have, then it becomes Mishal Ben. Or do you say, no, it's only Mishal Av. But if the father doesn't have... The son still has a chiyuv staka, he should direct the staka towards his father. And that's the shaila about whether you could use your meiser. Shevet HaLevi has a tshuva, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva. The Achronim discuss, can the child, since we paskin Mishal Av, if the parent doesn't have, can the child use their meiser money in order to pay for these needs of the parent?
Does the grandchild have the same halacha as a ben?
Does the grandchild? No.
No.
Sure, in the hierarchy it's stuck in giving family members. But that's true for a brother, a nephew, a cousin. A parent has the additional element of Kibbutz Av, of the chiyuv of Kibbutz Av. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. I wanted you to see those two tosafim. Let's go weiter. Toshma, we're going to try again. Another raya. Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, Arhechen Kibbutz Av Eim. How far does it go? Amar lahem kedesh yitol arniki v'yizerken liyam b'fanav. The father takes his kid's wallet and throws it into the sea. Ve'eino machlimo. And he doesn't try to prevent his father. He doesn't give his father a hard time. Yeah, mas mishal av. May nafka laminei. If the father's the one who has to pay, why is the child obligated to lose the value of his wallet? Mishal av. Or you could say, may nafka laminei means, if mishal av, the father's going to have to reimburse the child. So dad, you took my wallet and you threw it in the sea. Well, guess what? My Kibbutz Av was not yelling you while you threw my wallet in the sea, but we paskin dad, it's Mishal Av. So my wallet, I estimate, had within it, and its value are combined to $500. Cut me a check for $500. So no big deal that you're not machlimo. Says the Gemara, no. Baroi liyorsho. True, your father's going to reimburse you for the expense, but your father reimbursing you for that silly act of throwing your wallet in the sea is going to come out of the Yerusha that you were destined to inherit. So when your father is foolishly spending your Yerusha, i.e. his money, and you don't object, that's Kibbutz Av. It's his money. So what? It'll be your Yerusha. It's his money. When you don't object, that is Kibbutz Av. Says the Gemara, V'chiyod Rabba Baravuna, Ravuna Kara Shiroi. And now we have a Maisa. Ravuna tore his jacket, Pa'anpe Rabba Berei, in front of his son Rabba. Amar Ravuna said, Ezel Echsa Yirasach Ilarasach. Let me see and test my son whether he's going to get angry or not. Right? So he tore his own garment in front of his son to see whether his son would get angry. So what was the Nisayon? What was the test for Rabba if he'd get angry? The answer is, even though it was the father's garment, but the son was destined to be Yorid. He was going to inherit it. So the son getting angry or not, would he get angry about the fact that he would no longer be able to inherit? So the Gemara asks, how could Rav Huna do this? How could he test his son Rabba? V'dilma rasach, v'kavar alif na'ive lo sitein mechshol. But what if Taki caused his son Rabba to get angry? Man. And now he violated lifna'iver. Says the Gemara, demachale l'kore. Because the son, Rabba, was mochel on his kavod beforehand. So Rabba was not going to be over Kibbutz Av, even if he would have gotten angry and tried to stop him. The father was mochel on his kavod. We said, Av shemochel, akvodo, akvodo, mochel. So first he was mochel, And then he tested his son to see if he'd get angry. And it wasn't Lifnei Iver, because even if he got angry, since he was Mochel at first, it wasn't a problem of violating Kibbutz. Okay, but how could he test him by tearing his own garment? What about Bal Tashchis? Because maybe he tore the garment on the seam. So it's not Bal Tashchis because it could easily be sewn up. So what kind of test was it for his son? His son saw the tear was on the seam, knew it could be repaired, didn't think he was losing his Yerusha. So what kind of test? He didn't lose his cool, not because he loves you so much, give it ave aim. He didn't lose his cool because he knew he could easily sew it up. Says the Gemara, Da'avid le b'shas rischa, because Rav Huna did this test of Rabbah when Rabbah was already angry. So when someone's already angry, they lose their cool, they're not paying attention whether it's on the seam or not the seam. And that's why he orchestrated this whole thing to be a test. A very bizarre kind of exercise in proving whether it was Kibbutz Ve'eim or not. So a few things that you see from here.
He tested him to see whether he's going to get angry or not. And he was already angry.
So. Yeah.
So
first of all, it's interesting. The Gemara assumes, is it Lifnei Iver to make someone angry? Is getting angry in Avera? Is it Lifnei Iver to make someone angry? Because the Gemara seems to suggest that the Lifnei Iver would have been that if he got angry, he would have violated Kibbutz Ave'eim. But what if it's not Kibbutz Ave'eim, just getting angry? Is that in itself a shaila of Lifnei Iver? So Rav Yisrael Salanter, it's quoted in the Sefer Derech Sicha, held that because the father was Mochel, even if Rabbah would have gotten angry, he avoided Lifnei Iver, it means that b'midos ain Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is causing someone to do an Avera. But when it comes to midos, getting someone to violate a mida, there's no Lifnei Iver b'midos. But it's a machlokus, as others say, no, kas is also an iser. Kas is a categorically terrible mida, and that too there is an element of an iser. Oh, maybe that would be the problem. Yeah. The Chafetz Chaim, will end with this, pages 5 and 6, in his Hilchos Lashon Hara. In his Surei Lashon Hara Klal Tes, in the Haggah, he's having a big discussion about when you do something that causes someone else to say Lashon Hara. Is that Lifnei Iver? So he says, is Lifnei Iver only when you... The question he has is it Lifnei Iver only when you're Goreim the Avera, or even if you're Mesayel the Avera? Because the Gemara, when it has this discussion, and the major makor is, you give a cup of wine to a Nazir. Right? So, Trey Ibra Denara, two sides of the river, he couldn't get from anywhere else, he could only get it from you. You're Goreim the Avera. You give the cup of wine to the Nazir to drink, you're causing it. Versus your Mesayel. If you're Messiah, is that also Lifnei Iver? So the Chavetz Chaim proves here, if you turn the page, the last page, page 6, Chavetz Chaim proves, Shema Yavel Ishtos, V'chein B'Kedushin, B'Ovda D'Ravuna, D'Kar Shirai B'Apei Brei, D'Kaparach Shema Gemar V'Dilma Rasach, V'Kavar Ravuna Lifnei Iver, V'chein B'Amakel Avna Agadol, D'Amir Moi Kadon D'Over Lifnei Iver, Perish Rashi Shema Yechta Ben Negdo, Alma, D'Lav D'Over Baru Hu Sheyechta Al Yado. So says the Chavetz Chaim, you see that Lifnei Iver is violated even when you're only Misayeya, you're not Goreim. Over here, it wasn't like handing a cup of wine to a Nazir. He just tore a garment. Maybe his son would walk away, not care, look away, be forgiving, not get bent out of shape. So nevertheless, the Gemara calls it Lifnei Iver. You see, Lifnei Iver is not only when you a direct cause, even indirect is also part of the halachic definition, says the Chafetz Chaim, of the Isser of Lifnei Iver as well. All right, Amir Hashem, we'll pick up from here next week with more discussion about the definition of Kibbutz Ave'eim.